Welcome to Metapod, the podcast where we discuss operational execs and organizations that make and move stuff, and our common headaches, digital transformation, the forever labor shortage, and doing more with less. And now, the host of Metapod, Ron Crabtree.
Okay, so in this episode of Metapod, we're going to have a bit of a deep dive into how do you tap into funding opportunities with respect to the Defense Production Act. In other episodes, we've talked about, you know, how you can consider it in your supply chain resilience and overall risk management strategies, tapping into the things going on around DPA, how can we impact strategy and decisions we're making about future supply chain design and business decisions. And in this episode, we're going to kind of get into some of the nitty-gritty about how do you actually take advantage of the financial opportunities that are manifest within the Defense Production Act and some other related acts, such as the Inflation Reduction Act, et cetera. So we have a couple of esteemed experts in that space of how do we take advantage of opportunities to tap into funding and things like that associated with the Defense Production Act for this topic here that we're talking about now. So with that, let's meet the participants, esteemed guests who are experts in this space of tapping into government funding. We're going to ask Marty and Phil to introduce themselves. We'll start with Marty here.
Thanks, Ron. The first 15 years of my career, I was in large corporations. And then for another 15, I spent in a very entrepreneurial segment of my career where I started some companies, sold them, and bought and sold a number of companies and so forth. And then the last segment, which is basically 25 years now, I've been president of Incentives Management Group, which I founded back in 1997. We are a company that gets incentives from state, county, and local governments and federal government for corporations.
All right, awesome. Yeah, Marty's been very successful at that, and I've actually tapped into Marty to help a couple of our customers along the way. So really glad Marty could join us here today. And with us also is Phil Winkler. So Phil, it's a good to introduce yourself.
Yes, good morning. Phil Winkler here. I'm a chemical engineer. I spent 30 years in North Jersey working for air pollution control equipment companies in Manhattan and North Jersey. And then I spent 30 years near Allentown, Pennsylvania, working for Air Products. And my last job there was director of government contracting. And we obtained millions, hundreds of millions of dollars in funding for carbon capture and other technologies during the Obama infrastructure plan. And I was able to retire at the end of 2010. I formed Government Contracting Specialists, and I help companies on a proactive basis obtain government funding for research, development, and demonstration projects. I'm semi-retired. I volunteer for SCORE, and people reach out to me.
Senior. Define SCORE, because there's many definitions out there.
It's Service Corps of Retired Executives. We help people who want to start a business or people who want to need help in a certain discipline. 75% of my clients are outside of Florida and reach out to me to help get into the government contracting area. So that's what SCORE is about. And people reach out to me to do assignments, and we'll talk a little later about a ICL and a large grant that I helped them obtain from the Department of Energy.
All right. Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. So here we're going to have like four basic lines of questioning, you know, kind of starting with some diagnostic, et cetera, and then kind of move our way down into, you know, practically, how do you do this? How do you tap into it? I'm going to ask Marty these questions. And then as we go, he's going to pull Phil in to elaborate on some of the deep dive, you know, technical aspects and expertise elements that are folded into taking advantage of funding opportunities manifested by the Defense Production Act and other acts that are out there that we can tap into with our businesses. So with that, let's start with the first one here and kind of a bit of a diagnostic. And we're going to ask Marty to tackle this. So how can companies determine if the Defense Production Act would be helpful?
Yeah, so this is a little bit of a global conceptual answer, but it is, I think, the right way to go. So we recommend that companies take a look at their three most important initiatives or their three most important technical advances that they're trying to move forward, major programs that they're interested in, and decide whether they have the content that they're looking for to achieve success, and do they have the funding that they need to achieve success. If either one of those seems to be, we're not quite sure we have enough content or we have enough funding, then we would recommend considering moving those forward towards utilization of federal government funds, specifically the Defense Production Act and the various agencies that house funding and programs in that area.
Are there limitations? I think Phil will probably help address this as well. You have to be a company of a certain size or a certain industry. Are there limitations or things people should know about of any kind?
Not really. Phil can get into some of the specifics on a agency by agency basis. Once you get into the specific program, the guidelines for funding within that program become known. So that's the point in which you can determine. But I think in general, any entity that is a corporation, an LLC, or whatever can consider these opportunities.
All right. Very good. Excellent. So with that, let's move on to the second question. You know, once they've determined they could use content or funding that's available, you know, help they can tap into, you know, what would kind of be their first move or the first steps they should be taking?
So first thing to do is to take a look at where the funding and the programs exist. And it's basically in a number of different agencies, certainly in the Department of Defense, the Defense Production Act is housed there. And then Department of Commerce has a big piece of the funding, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, and the Department of Energy. Then once you have that knowledge, then you can take a look at the statement of funding, and Phil will talk to that a little bit later on, from each department or agency to determine what the goal of that agency is as it attempts to invest those funds. Again, Phil will get into this, but some of the projects are going to be demonstration projects and other are going to be actual projects. So you take a look at all of these specifics, and if you find a match of your objectives and the specifics of the program in terms of their objectives, then you can proceed into the agencies themselves, having conversations with people and advancing your agenda and your hopeful end result.
All right. Thank you, Marty, for that. I really appreciate that. And let's move on to question number three. To assist companies who are listening in, trying to understand the Defense Production Act, how would you describe it and what is it fundamentally?
Yeah, so it started back in the 50s, and essentially the Defense Production Act is designed to make sure that we have the supplies and the availability of those supplies to support the armed services in any war effort that we get into. So that's where it started. That's fundamentally what it is. So there's funds in there that can help to steer industrial production in the right direction, to start up industrial production and so forth. So it is a alliance between the government and business to ensure that we're capable and armed in a wartime economy. But over the years, its scope has significantly broadened so that while it still supports the military, it now is involved in disaster response efforts. And during the COVID crisis, the funds were used to ensure that we had medical supplies, medical equipment, vaccines, and so forth to support that effort. So as events unfold and as requirements to ensure that we have the capability within the companies within the United States to support our needs as an entity in the world, we have to use those funds to support and bring in the capabilities that we need if we don't have them at the time.
All right. Awesome. Very interesting. So let's move on to the meat of, you know, this Metapod episode here. And, you know, everybody's always interested in, how do I do that? You know, how do I actually monetize and tip into that? So what are the, so those are those fundamentals. And maybe you can just bring us up on to DPA as of today, and then roll into a little bit of the practical how-to.
Yeah, sort of the There was a little bit of a pivot, I guess, in November when the White House announced use of the Defense Production Act to make sure that essential medicines were made in America and that drug shortages were taken care of and so forth. So there was an offering made to domestic manufacturers to enhance the capability to deal with the medical issues. Related to that, but not a part of the Defense Production Act, is the funding that's been made available recently to encourage domestic manufacture of computer chips. So there are quite a bit of efforts on the part of the federal government to invest in the U.S. And that's one of the reasons we're talking about this today, because corporations should be paying attention to these opportunities. There are significant funds available. And if you can navigate the labyrinth of government, and Phil will give you some interesting perspective on how you do that, there's some significant opportunities that are out there.
All right, cool. Do you want to pull Phil in at this point?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. We'll turn it into the subject matter expert speaks.
Take it away, Phil.
Okay. Again, I help clients get government funding for research, development, and demonstration projects. And I take a proactive approach. If there's a funding opportunity announcement out there, other companies and firms have spoken to the program managers at the Department of Energy, as an example. So you want to take your technology that is different and talk to the program managers and get your ideas as they start to prepare funding opportunity announcements. I recommend to my clients that they reach out to the program managers. And as you know, there's so much information on the internet nowadays, and you could find out who exactly to speak to.
So do you have like a checklist or a mental checklist of bing, 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 that you could just share very quickly? The steps that an organization might follow?
Sure. You put together a funding request. Here's the technology I have. Here's how it's going to help the United States. And here's why it's different from everybody else. And you start talking to the people. I advise my clients to put together a 15 to 20 page PowerPoint presentation, talking about their background, their experience, and their technology, and going through that page by page with the government customer. And again, it's all about developing relationships in the government. When each administration changes, the top level people change, the assistant secretaries, et cetera, but the people below them, the program managers, they're there on a day-to-day basis, and they're good people, and a lot of them have been working there for many, many, many years, and you get to know them and build a relationship. And if you perform well, you execute your contract on schedule and on budget, you get that reputation, and they love speaking to you and talking to you about your technologies that can help the U.S. And especially under the Biden administration, the focus is on clean energy, solar, how to make the grid secure, batteries for vehicles, batteries for energy storage, wind energy, et cetera. So that's a big deal in the Department of Energy, and it's managed by the Office of Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy.
All right, awesome. That was a super example. I mean, basically that checklist, that process you described, just about any opportunity to do business with government, it's really relationships. I learned that personally many years ago. We wanted to do some work with the state of Michigan, right, to help them with improving how the state operates, kind of a lean for government approach. And we had to hire a lobbyist and spend time in Lansing, our state capital, to get to know folks, to really understand what was the funding mechanisms, how did they make decisions. You had to meet them where they were. So that was really good advice. that I think people can really benefit from. So I'm very grateful you shared that with us. Any
Okay.
other tips, Phil, before we move on?
Well, I could add, back in the day, I hired a lobbyist for government research funding. And we, back in the day, you could do earmarks where you're writing the appropriation bill that this technology should get funded for this amount. We did colloquies. A colloquy is a member-to-member discussion that gets put in the Federal Register. And we would take that colloquy to the Department of Energy's assistant secretary and say, you see what this member said about our technology? Please fund it fully as they requested. But again, it's just business development 101 and building those relationships and executing your project on schedule and on time.
Got to perform. So, Marty, you want to add anything before we get into wrap up?
You know, I just wanted to pose to Phil maybe a question, which is, what are the reasons that most companies hesitate to do this in your experience? And what's your response to those?
Well, a lot of companies are not comfortable doing business with the government, especially in the chemical industry. The company I mentioned, Air Products, they were founded during World War II, and they built and sold nitrogen generators to the Navy. They were very comfortable in doing business with the government. And then they got into the hydrogen program, first with the Air Force and then with NASA, to building large steam methane reformers to produce hydrogen. So when I was at Air Products, the president, the CEO, and the CTO were very comfortable doing business with the government. They were behind what we did. I would bring the CTO to Washington and the different energy technology centers twice a year just to meet with the senior people, the assistant secretaries, so that if there was an issue, we had a direct line of communication with them. And again, it's about building those relationships. And as part of building the relationships, I belong to many industrial trade associations where the Department of Energy and other agency people were involved in, and you got to meet with them on a very informal basis.
So the perception is complexity, bureaucracy, and those kinds of issues. And your response to that is it's really all about people and relationships.
Yes, and I'll give you a couple examples. Again, I was with Air Products, and Praxair and Linde and other industrial gas companies, they saw that Air Products was getting all these government contracts. They said, why can't we do the same? So they jumped in and they started to build the relationships and obtain the contracts.
All right. Very good. Excellent. Marty, anything else you want to touch before we move into wrap up?
I did have a couple more questions. Let me just think. I buried them away for what Phil was talking, and I was entranced by his answer. From a timing standpoint, is the government funding at the federal level, is it slow and ponderous? And is that something that the executives have a struggle with?
Well, I advise my clients, if you're starting from ground zero, you've never done business with the government, and you say, hey, I want to jump in and get some government funding, it's a 1 to 2 year effort.
Okay.
To get your first contract, to do the business, the market research, put together your business development plan, which agencies are going to target, who are the program managers, and start speaking to them. And back in the day, one of the differentiators that Air Products had was we had a great proposal team. We banged out these really excellent proposals, but then the government got smart and they took that differentiator away from us. Every funding opportunity announcement explicitly states, here are the sections we need, here's how many pages, and here's how each section is going to be graded.
Yeah.
So it kind of leveled the playing field.
So what I hear is it's a strategy, not a tactic. You don't go to the government on a tactical basis. I'm going to do something for 6 months. I'm going to grab these funds or whatever. It's really a strategy for a corporation to invest and get the return.
Yeah, exactly. You really have to spend the time in doing business development 101.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between the commercial world and the government market is you can't speak to the government once the funding opportunity announcement is released.
Mm-hmm.
You could speak to them about any subject before it's released. On the other hand, if you have several contracts like Air Products had, you're constantly in touch with the government customer. So that's a huge advantage, because you're constantly speaking to the program managers. I would put together what I call a focus account management plan, where everybody at Air Products who touched the customer, from the contract administrator to the program manager to the CTO, we would say how many times we would meet or touch the customer on an annual basis. Again, it's all about building the relationship and keeping in touch with the customer, just like the commercial world.
All right. Awesome. Anything else, Marty?
No, I think we're good.
All right. Well, with that, we're going to move into wrap up here. But before we do that, I'd like to ask if Marty and Phil could just, share how people get in touch with him. If they'd like to commiserate, pick your brain, look for ideas, and explore, learning more. Maybe you can just share how they can get in touch with you. We'll start with Marty and then shift to Phil.
Sure. I think you're going to put it in part of this edited version and so forth. But my email address is marty.abbott@theimgroup.com. My company is formerly Incentives Management Group, but we go by the IM Group. And that's where our website is as well. It's theimgroup.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much. How about for you, Phil?
Well, I have a Gmail address now. I closed down my LLC because companies started cutting costs around 2017, 2018. And consultants were the first one to go. And I got involved with SCORE, and I do many fun activities here in the Villages, Florida. But people reach out to me, and I do 3 or 4 assignments a year that are interesting to me. And my email address is philip.w.winkler@gmail.com.
All right.
And I'm very active on LinkedIn. People reach out to me from LinkedIn.
Sure.
And people reach out to me from Air Products. People reach out to me. I haven't spoken to them 20 years, and boom, they call me. So it's very rewarding, and I enjoy helping people with my SCORE volunteer work.
All right. Awesome. Well, good job, guys. I got to learn a lot here just, listening and thinking about it and comparing it to some of the things I've heard over the years. A couple of wrinkles here I hadn't thought about. And so that was extremely helpful. So Marty, Phil, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for the opportunity. Appreciate it. Thanks, Ron.
You're welcome.
Thank you for joining Metapod. For requests on topics or to ask questions, you can connect with Ron Crabtree 3 ways: via email at metapod@metaexperts.com, via LinkedIn, or by calling him directly at 734-425-1455, extension 103. Lastly, if you love the show, please consider leaving a 5-star review on your favorite podcast app. We truly appreciate all your support.